talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, it is a Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 14th, 2018. You are tuned into the Exchange Club, and this is the kickoff of our new fall season of the Exchange Club here on WWGH Radio. And boy, do we have a lot of information to cover today. In the next 46 minutes. Now, the housekeeping we have to do here quickly. As always, our dear friends and longtime panelists, Marge Hazlett and Charlie Evers, are with us for the ride, as they are every week. This week, Thunderbolt Patterson, who you've heard on this station, legendary pro wrestler and advocate over the years, is here with us for this week, our special guest sit-in. And Thunderbolt will have a show on this station very soon. We're working out the plans on this. And that's going to be something to behold, the Thunderbolt Patterson Show. And joining us now each and every week on this little Friday, it's turning our, what do they call the, when it's three people?
Trio.
See, that's why she's here. Joining our little trio and making it a quartet will be Brandy Downs every Friday with us here to fight. Like we always do every
Friday. Dan Downs?
I'm sorry?
There's a Dan Downs in Marion County.
Yes. I don't think it's...
Not related.
No. My husband is also Daniel Downs, but we get lots of calls
For
a Dan Downs that
and
we have
reindeer,
no relationship to.
He has a herd of reindeer, yeah.
Oh, the insurance man.
Yes.
Now this show has balanced out because it's always been... Well, for a long time we had Marianne Michaels on the show, and then she retired. And it's been Charlie and I in March, which is good, but now it's 50-50 again because you have to have female perspectives on subjects. And I've always said Marion does not have enough women on the air. We got to have male voices, Charlie.
Really?
Yeah, just you and I couldn't do the whole thing. But there's a lot of interesting subjects here this week we got to get into. And we're going to start where we left off last week with Kavanaugh, Charlie, because I know it's an ugh already.
I haven't even heard of him in a week's time.
No, but I want to go back to the conversation that we had last week because I went home and did my homework. If you didn't tune into the show last week, the discussion was Charlie liked Kavanaugh, which a lot of people do.
Still
said
do.
He was very sure, absolutely fine. Oh, Marge wasn't even here for this last week, so it's a whole thing. We're nominating Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. And he's going through the confirmation process, and Charlie likes him. And I said last week that I don't think I think he's lying. Now, I hate to be that rough about it, but when he's asked about certain things, he says he doesn't recall. Now, he is a very smart man. He remembers case law from 20 years ago, but when they ask him about Roe versus Wade, when they ask him about unions, when they ask him about should a sitting president be indicted, he always says, I can't recall. Well, I did a little research. This is the research I wanted to bring out to that case was, here's the reason he's saying that. Because he's a lawyer. And there was a question asked by, I believe it was the Senator Kamala Harris. She asked him a question about, did you ever talk about this with somebody in your office about not indicting a sitting president? Because that could happen. It might not, but it could happen. And the reason he says he can't recall is because, as a lawyer, even if he had talked about it in the office, if he says, yes, we did talk about it, then if that case ever came before him on the Supreme Court, he would have to recuse himself because he's already given his opinion. But if he says, no, we didn't talk about it, and somebody ever found out that he did talk about it, then it's perjury.
Okay.
Which tells me...
So what should he have said?
He should have told the truth. He should have. He's going to get confirmed. It's a Republican Senate.
Right.
So why didn't he just say, yes, we talked about it. I don't think a sitting president should be indicted. Well, the reason he didn't do that is because he knows then there would be...
Well, if he did get on the Supreme Court and that was brought up to indict the president, they already knew his opinion.
But
he can't do that.
But if he's on the record saying he talked about it, he would have to recuse himself from that case.
Right.
So he doesn't want to recuse himself.
He'd rather lie.
He did lie.
See,
I hate to say it.
This is the thing, you know what I mean, with politics and preachers and just living. It's no reason to lie.
I mean, if he's really got a shady memory, okay, I'll take you at that, but I don't believe you do. Brandy, what do you think?
Well, I think it's maybe, I find it a little odd to try to ask Supreme Court nominees for their opinions on matters before they're confirmed to the court. From my perspective, if you're going to be a judge, I automatically assume that you're going to go in being
neutral.
Fair. Yes, yeah. That you're going to be neutral. And so when they try to sort of pigeonhole them into one side or the other before they're even confirmed, I would hope that any judge would not give an opinion first and listen to whatever arguments are presented. If you haven't even had the case presented to you, how can you really, you know, have a stance on it already? And there's a difference between having a personal opinion and talking to your lawyer friends about it and then sitting through a case and listening to all of it and then taking the facts and making a proper judgment on it.
90% of the time, I would agree.
Yeah, but excuse me. I don't know much about nothing.
Right. Well, no, go ahead.
But what I'm saying, though, was it right for him to lie?
No.
You know, so this is what I'm saying, though. This is what I'm saying. Just like you said, answer questions the best of your ability. It's up to the people. Give them the opportunity. See, it's been too much under the table, chauvinistic, lying, stealing, and whoremonging, and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
They are lying about everything.
I do think he lied.
Well, and here's and this is and, well, there we go. There's three for lies. But here's the problem. And 90%, I would agree of what Brandy said on a normal case. But here's the problem. This is a lifetime appointment. This is the Supreme Court, and the reason that is not acceptable is because, how do you get on the Supreme Court? You're appointed by the president. And do you really believe that Trump did not ask him what his feelings were on indicting a sitting president when he could be indicted himself here pretty soon? I'm sure he did.
Look at all the other presidents that appointed Supreme Court justices.
But how many have been indicted?
Many, many.
But how many have been indicted?
Well, I don't know.
Two.
Well, exactly. I mean, we should probably... There's only really two options. We either confirm Kavanaugh and move forward. We don't confirm Kavanaugh, and Donald Trump appoints somebody else because it is his right as president to appoint nominees. And then we go round and round and round and keep
going
for
the next
2 years. Right.
Yeah, but Kavanaugh can go on, but I need him to recuse himself with anything to do with the man who appointed
that's
him.
That's what you're talking about.
That's what should happen.
Yeah, yeah,
you say that.
Understanding. Get understanding.
Yeah.
We got to get some understanding about everything that's going on.
Marge, what do you think? You didn't have a chance to comment on this last week. Do you think that a man should be on the Supreme Court appointed by a guy who might end up under indictment here pretty soon?
I'd have to really think about that.
It's a very difficult question,
right?
Because I don't care if Kavanaugh's on the Supreme Court, because the truth is what Brandy and Thunderbolt said, it would just be another appointee by President Trump. But I need, when this president's already been accused by name of committing crimes, I need anybody that he's appointed to say anything to do with him, I'm not going to make a ruling on at this point. That's all he has to do.
And we're talking about the high court now.
The high court.
The highest court.
Mm-hmm.
So look how many George Washington appointed. Wasn't it 12?
Right. But
how many of those are squeaky clean?
Kavanaugh's squeaky.
Did we ever look into any of the appointments in the past years to see if there was a prejudice that developed among any of the Supreme Court justices on whatever they had to rule on.
Oh, sure. Supreme Court justices are very political. Of course they are. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's no way with the president under investigation by a special investigator and his own lawyer just named him pretty much in a claim that he committed a crime, that there's no way he didn't ask this judge who would be making this ruling, how do you feel about that? Do you think I should be indicted? If I just don't believe that he... If he, I would have even had more... If he would have said yes. Yes, I remember having that conversation. And
told the truth.
Told the truth. And then let pieces fall where they may. But that's why he did it. It gave him an out either way. Not perjury, but that's the way
good
it was.
Good enough for him. That's good thinking.
Was it?
Yes, indeed.
I don't know.
Let's move on.
We'll see.
It's been too much good thinking going on up there.
Let's drop an H-bomb on this country and it'll all be over. Well,
I don't think this
won't
country...
Won't have to worry about politics.
I don't know if this country hinges on Judge Kavanaugh.
We may get hit by an asteroid.
Uh-oh.
In 2028, I think it is.
But when you're going to there, we're going to go way on back now. Because we're talking about gold and the things that deal with our bodies and the things, our health. And is there been some deep stuff going on back there, too?
I don't know, but if an asteroid hit us, it'd probably be a Republican or Democrat asteroid.
It would have to be.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you now?
I mean, it might be a third party.
It might be a third party.
Well, by then there might be, yes.
Well, we're going to leave that where it is because we just wanted to come back and just explain last week's show. But let's talk. This isn't political. This is the hurricane that's going on in North Carolina right now. Now, why don't people leave? This is what I want to say to people. When they tell you there's going to be the big whammy coming, even if there's a chance of it, why are 30% of people staying in their homes? What do you think that is, Brandy? Why do people stay?
Well, there's probably multiple reasons. I think part of it is that if you live in a place where hurricanes are prevalent, that you have a certain culture around that, which, you know, you kind of feel like you know better than the meteorologists whether or not it's going to be an actual problem. But also, I mean, there's always roadblocks to leaving. I can't imagine if I had to haul myself and my husband and my four kids and my dog and my cat somewhere else to escape some weather. That's a huge burden, and sometimes people just can't afford it, or they don't have the transportation, or they don't have anywhere else to go. I don't know why they don't leave. I wish they would, but I think there's many reasons.
Same way along the Ohio River. They're called river rats.
Mm-hmm.
They never... And if they did move, it'd only be for a short period of time, right back again.
But I'd rather be an alive river rat than a dead river rat floating up the river. That's whatever obstacle there would be.
I don't know. I think river rats would give themselves up
you
to
think?
Drown, yes. They
Maybe
don't
they're not
leave
that
home.
Happy to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, I think... In behalf of some of the people like in your family that have lived in Florida for a million years and they have gone through all kinds of hurricanes or whatever they've gone through, and they are not afraid. I know our son is married to a gal that said, "You will stay here with me." Okay. Nobody's going to tell me I'm going to stay with
you. I might get killed.
That's silly.
I had relatives in Miami that used to participate in hurricane parties.
And so she said, "You will stay." And he called me, "So what should I do?" I said, "I guess that's up to you and your wife, whatever you're going to do." Frankly, I'd be gone.
If
my husband or no one would tell me I had to stay there because I'm going to stay there.
That's right.
I have a mind of my own, and I'm going to use it.
You know, people get caught up in materialistic things.
Right.
And that's the only thing that I could see. I mean, because if something said you need to move, if you don't move, it's your own fault.
Right.
And if any danger, I mean, and things like that, not to be played with, but and it's so many things, like she said, so many people can't go nowhere, caught, stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any way I could catch on to anything, a hobo, or walk, anything, I don't think I could stay knowing that a direct hit is coming. I don't know where I could stay there. Well, I try to get out of there.
I remember Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago down in New Orleans. And Fats Domino, who had a lot of money and a lot, his reason was certainly not materialistic for not leaving. But, oh, it's New Orleans. We never get hit that bad. Well, guess what? Fats Domino ended up on the roof of a house during that whole thing and had to be rescued by a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Get out. There will be somebody to take you out.
Out, yeah, right.
Get out. You aren't going to have those materialistic things because they're going to be blown away.
That's right.
You're going to be.
Or you can buy some more.
You can yes.
Yeah, you can buy some more. It doesn't make sense if normally the mayor, the governor, or somebody said we need to evacuate.
They did.
Well, we here in this United States, we got to start learning how to follow orders. Well, nothing is above the law.
Yeah, well, it's an odd thing because, but here's where I do want to give some praise to CNN. Because I was watching their coverage of this last night. They have all three of their major reporters down there, Anderson Cooper and Cuomo and Don Lemon, and they are making calls to people who have stayed because they're without power. And they're doing a phone tree to tell people where, and if they don't get a hold of them, they're trying to send the search and rescue people out to find them.
Must be a job without any power.
Well, cell phones. If the towers,
cell phone towers have to have power.
Well, right, but those have generators, a lot of them do. But houses don't. Not every house has a generator.
Well, that's the thing, too. I wish that as a country we were better prepared for these things. I think a lot of times, you know, here in Ohio, we don't necessarily, we're not prepared for the hurricane. If we had shelters here or I don't know where, in the interior of the United States or something, where these people, they were ready to go and they knew that there was a place, then they might be more likely to leave. You know, we all have to come together. If somebody is, you know, on oxygen or they need medication that they can't get elsewhere or whatever. I mean, we have to come together and make sure that those people are okay and instead of just, you know, wondering why the heck aren't you leaving.
Does anybody remember Florida last year? Same thing. They told them to leave. And then what did you have these nursing homes that are filling up with water and people are dying.
Right.
Puerto Rico last year, 3,000 people dead. 3,000. Now, why in the world do people not understand? I mean, I live in Ohio, but if somebody told me something catastrophic could, I'm not saying will, could happen here, and you might want to leave for a few days, well, I'd go to Detroit.
And where you?
Me too. Why risk it?
Right.
Well,
why
you would go
it?
If you had the money to go, but if you don't have a car or you don't have the money for gas in your car or you don't have, you know, the money for a hotel or wherever. How are you supposed to leave?
Well, call your neighbor.
But all of those things is you don't have because of how the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we know there's hurricane season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever season, what it's going to do. And, you know, and we know what it has done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why you don't leave is just, it don't make sense other than you can't.
Right.
I think if you called, because I saw the mayor of Myrtle Beach on, if you don't have the means to get out of Myrtle Beach, if you would have called the mayor's office, I'm sure they would have tried to help you get out of there. Because when they say there's an evacuation going on, they're telling you to get out. And if you tell them, I don't have the means to get out, I'm sure prior to the point of no return, that they would help you.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that.
I think if I called the mayor here in town,
take a lot of help.
I tell you, if I couldn't get out of here, I'd call the mayor. I'd say, listen, you, wherever you're going to be, I'm going to be. So where do you want to meet? Because this is what's going to happen.
In the basement of the city hall.
Is that where he'd be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then that's where we'd go. Yeah. I mean, people stay in. I'm telling you, 3,000 people dead last year, and I don't know what the count's going to be on this one. But at some point, you have to have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're financially strapped, I'd rather be financially strapped than financially dead.
Yes.
You know, dead. Yes. Dead, you ain't going to recover from. Yes. You know, debt, you will.
Yeah. We, and you can do a lot of surviving. that you don't think that you can do if you make the effort. You know,
right.
You can't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nothing. And to stay in a place where, 125 or 30 mile an hour winds and debris falling and water rising, how can you deal with that element? You know what I mean, what can you do?
Right.
What can you do?
You're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Yeah. Big trouble.
And they gave these people 3 days. Yeah. And a lot of them, you know, there probably is some financial difficulty there, but that's not everybody.
Yeah,
and they just, I love to stand on my porch and watch the wind blow.
That's
okay right up till it blows through your house.
Yeah.
Blow it down.
That brings,
blow you away.
Brings a story to my mind. When I was a fireman in Bucyrus, the house was on fire. The fire was in the walls. The only way we could get at the fire was to open up the walls and get our hose in there. So I went out the truck and I brought an axe, and I was walking in the house with an axe, and the lady stood in front of me. She said, "You're not coming in here with that axe." Okay.
Well, her house is on fire.
Yeah.
See, that's the...
But she didn't want me to mess up her house.
But the fire, she wasn't worried about messing up her house.
And over that Clear Fork Reservoir, there was a very nice mansion-type home that had a fireplace burnout. And the lady stood at the door there and said, "You will wipe your feet before you come in my house."
See, there you go. That's people's thinking.
It's
irrational.
Crazy. I mean,
it's irrational.
It's
irrational.
It's irrational, but it's also habitual. You know, if somebody's used to saying, "Wipe your feet before you come in my house," they probably just don't even think about, you know, what they're saying and who they're saying it to and why when it happens. They just say it. So.
Well, God bless them, but I wish they had a little more sense about themselves.
Common sense.
And then emergency senses go by the wayside.
I noticed that, not just in an emergency, in everyday life, people's their senses go by the wayside.
The other day, 2 days ago, my oldest daughter and her daughter were in the Sunbury area, and all of a sudden a car came across the line, headed straight for them, and they took the ditch.
See? You had to make a quick choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the car that forced them off stopped for a moment and then continued on. And luckily, they didn't hurt themselves
bad. But isn't that what could have turned into a tragic situation? Because people don't pay attention.
That's right. It's happening every day, everywhere.
But I just wish, my only complaint is every time we have one of these storms, is get these TV people out of the storm. I get sick of them seeing, grabbing on to telephone poles and watching the rain blow by.
And they're saying, "This place has been ordered evacuated."
And here
so
I am.
So what's he doing standing there?
Yeah. It's so stupid. It's done for effect, but that's what it is. I hope we don't have any casualties in North Carolina, but 30% of the people staying, who knows? Maybe it'll taper out. We'll hope the best. I do want to talk about Puerto Rico for a second, because it's just a strange thing. We now know 3,000 people have died, but the president said yesterday that that's not so, that number's wrong, that Democrats made up that number, is what he said. Now, here's the problem with this. This is not political at all, in my opinion. What if you were the family member of one of these 3,000 people who were killed? Would you want it acting like it didn't happen?
Do we know if there were 3,000 killed?
Yes.
For sure?
Yes. These totes were taken by people in Puerto Rico. There was a disaster down there with getting the water to people and getting
and
the...
And did they have the water sitting there for or 2 years?
Yes, and I don't understand. It was a while, like six months, I think. I don't understand why you would even if you thought the number was wrong, why would you make a comment like that?
Because some of those people knew they were headed for a disaster, and he said, "I'm going to stay home. I'm going to..."
But that's not what he said. He said the number's wrong. He said, no, that many people didn't die.
No.
He said it was a tremendous success down there. Well, it wasn't a tremendous success.
The biggest problem down there was the electric company that failed, that they had hired.
Well, no FEMA came in, though. That's the problem.
We can't pass the book. We can't pass the book one place to the other. I mean, you do or you don't. Some things you say, some things you don't say. And, I mean, it's too much of the building up and putting down.
Right.
building up everything, lying. I mean, no, it's lying. It's lying. Things that has been changed, they say they ain't been changed. Things that ain't nothing happened. Now, we're doing some good things now, but don't get me wrong. Doing good things. But lying about what you're doing or being above the law.
There you
I
go.
Want this hole right there.
Brandy, what do you think? I mean, do you think this number in Puerto Rico could be wrong and maybe the president knows something we don't know?
I think it doesn't matter. I think the issue is that nobody's blaming the Republican president for the hurricane. Hurricanes happen. They're awful. People died. That is tragic.
Right.
Nobody's blaming him for that. But because they're upset over his reaction to it, mm-hmm. he isn't willing to take any accountability for it. None. Zero. He said he deserves an A+. So there is no room for criticism. And then when the numbers changed, instead of taking accountability and saying it's worse than we thought, mm-hmm. maybe I have to take an A- instead of an A+.
Right.
He just denied it
so
completely.
In other words, it's all about self.
Mm-hmm.
And all about that. Right. Those things just is outdated.
Right.
They don't work no more.
Right.
People don't hear that stuff no more.
But you know what, Thunderbolt? People believe it.
But
because
he said it. But that's the thing. That is the frightening and the scary part. That's the part that's trying to keep it divided and conquered. That's the part that pulling in individuals that feel that way when they say they're standing and doing for something else. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's that undermining, as so many things do, or people do it, and it's just happening more so now than we've ever paid attention to before, because no one done it to this magnitude. You know, saying what you want to say, you got to believe what you want. Want to believe?
Hold on. Keep going ahead. I'll take this.
You know,
over
it's
here.
Going on. It's happening, and it's happening all over. That when you say things like that and supposed to be the leader, then people are going to follow you,
mm-hmm.
because they put you in office.
Right.
People don't want to say I done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And well, he won't say he done wrong, so the people that follow him won't say nothing.
Right.
And it's not, we got to make people accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We and have to hold ourselves accountable, too. We
right.
have to stop idolizing
right.
the people
right. there you
in
go.
Office. They're humans
just like
we are.
Right.
They make mistakes.
Right.
They
right.
screw up, and we have to be
right.
willing to say, you did wrong this time. Fix your problem.
Right.
Whether I like
well,
you or
not,
it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
You got to fix the problem. And denying the fact that 3,000 people died is just atrocious.
Ridiculous. Right. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and I don't understand why it continues to happen, but it's. I'll give you my opinion. My opinion on why he keeps saying this sort of thing is because a little news story came by yesterday that Manafort is now going to work with the special prosecutor. Because when faced with the rest of your life in prison, you tend to become a little more cooperative. And I think he's trying to get everybody to look at the ball in the other room, because don't look at what's about to happen over here.
Everybody.
Pay attention to the Supreme Court. Pay attention to the hurricane.
Isn't that how it always goes?
Look over here.
Diversions. We don't deal with the problems.
Why would he need to lie about the deaths of people to have a diversion that we have another hurricane coming in? That's diversion enough.
Because we're talking about it. That's
would he lie?
Can we say this here? Let's say this here.
Went in and counted.
Yeah. Let's say this here. They done lied about so many things that we don't have no doubt that they're lying about this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the people there stood up and tried to be accountable for their people, to want to know where their people are or how many's gone or whatever. And how would an individual outsider say to those people that's there, that put it on the record, that has had other problems? This ain't the first one.
Well, that's the thing about it is even if the number's wrong, let's say it is. Let's say the number is wrong. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Yeah, another hurricane's coming. You didn't handle that one the best. Let's say it's 2,000 people who are dead. You should have done better. Or you could just not talk about it at all. You could just say, he didn't have, even have to, nobody was asking him about it. It was a tweet. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Stop doing things like that. But he does them because we're talking, as were the other news channels, and we're not talking about the fact that people are flipping against him and he's under heavy-duty investigation and a lot of things are going to happen this November that he... You don't want to talk about that.
Yes.
But we promised we would get to this subject, which isn't political. Les Moonves, president of CBS, the most powerful man in news, now gets caught up in the Me Too movement. Several women accuse him of sexual misconduct, and he is out as the head of CBS.
Now, didn't he say he was innocent?
In his statement, he kind of says, yes, he was innocent.
Which one of them didn't say
they're all innocent? Yeah.
Say they're innocent.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a chauvinistic world, and it started that way. And they've been doing it all along, all everywhere.
Well, and to follow him over at CBS, the executive producer of 60 Minutes, Jeff Fager, who had been there for something like 30 years, some woman accuses him, and he goes and tweets something. I don't have the tweet verbiage, but basically, don't accuse me. You might end up without a job. Well, guess what? Before the end of the day, Fager was without a job.
Yes.
It's prehistoric stuff. Time, supposed to bring about a change.
Right.
We've been treating women, people, wrong for a long, long time. All of this here is catching up with the big bad wolf.
Well,
so it will straighten itself out. This too shall pass.
Right.
Whatever's been done. And now, you know, some point, those people that is going along, just like the one jumping out the boat,
yeah,
he ain't going down for what somebody else had done and whatever. They gonna do it for each other.
Well, it's a big question, and I asked Marge. You know, Marge, I never knew this sort of thing was going on to this level. And certainly these companies would not remove these people if there was not some evidence.
Right.
So what in the world? And did you hear Gail King? I don't watch the show, but CBS This Morning this week, because Moonves was the president of CBS, the head guy. And she went off the teleprompter one day this week because the people at CBS said, don't talk about it. Don't talk about what's happened with him. And she said, we're going to talk about it. So she put her job at risk by talking about it. What in the world, Marge, was going on for this 30-year period? Why were these men doing what they were doing?
Because they could get away with it.
Because they could.
How many women tempted them?
Wait a minute. Hold on now. Let's get deep.
Yeah, yes. That's a little...
Let's get deep. When God made woman, he didn't make nothing no better. And we're supposed to treat them right. Wait a minute.
He used a rib.
Just because she used a rib, you're supposed to be superior?
That's right. It was her rib.
No. Let's lay the rib down.
Yeah.
Let's lay the rib down. If they use a rib, when you say that that's a little bit stinking thinking of in the men, how they feel, got to be head of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Got to run, got to make more money, got to say, it's my house, you do what I say. A woman's place is at home. Come on, man.
Listen, you're capable of running this huge business empire, but you're not capable of telling a woman no or looking the other way if a woman comes to you and is supposedly trying to tempt you or whatever. You're a human being and you have free will. Say no. Do the right thing.
Right.
Do the right thing.
Right. That's all it is. Do the right thing.
Well, it's an interesting mess because you can't blame the women. And Norm MacDonald
and get away with it like they've been doing all along.
But I don't understand why this was going on for so long in the dark. I don't understand.
Power.
Well,
power.
Because of
individuals.
Like that, because people think that a woman is ultimately culpable. The men don't have to take accountability, and so they get away with it for 30 years.
But I don't know that that's all what it was. I think there was somewhere along the line.
We can't sugarcoat this.
No, but why wouldn't a woman go to HR if they were being treated that way?
Because they wouldn't be listened to.
Okay, well...
You're not because then you get blamed.
Yeah, or you kicked right out that door.
Well,
right?
See, these are as a male, I can't say I don't know. Well, I didn't have these trouble. See,
well, we're telling you.
As a male, the only reason I would say of observing of how it really is and observing how they do you when you don't do what they want you to do.
Take sex out of it for a moment. And think about you being somebody's subordinate, and they are just hammering you all the time, treating you awfully. Go to HR and say, this is going on. What do you think the chances are that actually changes?
It's not going to be good.
But it don't change.
But here's also a problem, and it's not to minimize that whole situation, but how many women have been hired because of the way they look? How many?
Or what they can do for you
exactly.
Or the company.
Most women run stuff anyway.
Well, that's
behind the scenes.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
During the last political election had many discussions about. Because we had the first woman running, you know, look at her hair, look at her clothes, look at her. We would never say that about a man running for office, would never criticize.
I've never seen a man with long hair since Jefferson run for office.
Have you seen President Trump's, whether you like President Trump or not, his hair is not the best feature on that guy, but nobody ever went to it like people went, Hillary looks drawn.
Oh, they've been all over Trump about his hair more than Hillary.
I think Mary Ellen said it was a double standard. Said she had Mary Ellen Withers said she had to have her hair a certain way. She had to have nice clothes on when she went out, and they never. And they also, she said, would comment on her age. Yes. They would never do that to men in power much as they would do it to women in power.
And that is something.
Shame on us.
Well, Marge has got this. Go ahead, Marge.
Let me tell you, there is nothing that can make me more upset than to look at us poor women that don't have brain one, and I probably have more brains than they have, but, they want to put us down. And I can remember in grade school that they did that all the time to us. And if you said anything, your parents got called, and then my mother or dad would have the talk. But I don't understand why I can't say that, Dad, because you're a girl.
Well, that's a sad thing, but is that still going on, do you think?
Well, here it is. I mean, look how many have been caught in the last...
Well, they're hopefully... I don't know. It's a very touchy subject, and you certainly don't blame the women, but it's an awful thing that's been going on for a long time, and hopefully it's coming to an end.
Didn't Bill Cosby, more or less,
start
all this?
I think... we've had a lot of.
It was going on, but it wasn't public like.
Monica Lewinsky, that was consensual, to my understanding, but that was certainly taking advantage of your power over an intern in the White House. Certainly, President Trump does not get away with this one unscathed. This has been going on a long time. A man who marries a young woman is considered, good. But if you have an older lady who marries a young man, then it's robbing the cradle. There is a double standard toward women. There certainly is.
Well, double standards, a lot of things. And see, one thing leads to another.
Right.
That power, that chauvinistic, those are two things that man has abused.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to be half right, you're a wimp, henpecked, or you ain't in running with the bunch. You ain't running with the players. All of them in those high positions, wealthy men trying to play, old men trying to play, using their money, using what they know that the law has abused. They won't stand for women. They don't stand. They're just now starting to even listen to it. How long? They got a lot to encounter for.
Well, Brandy, do you think this is going to be a big election for women coming up? Do you think it's going to be a big election? Because I do see a lot more women running. I'll say that all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of very strange dynamics happening in our country right now. And, you know, of course I would like to say, yes, it's going to be the year of the woman. And, you know, we're finally going to start to balance the Congress. But I'm a little worried that there's going to be backlash from, you know, people who internally are bigoted towards women. Having seen this come up, I don't think they're over Hillary any more than we're over Hillary, you know. And so I think
I'm inviting Hillary here.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes. That's our new project.
Amazing. Yes.
Yes.
I want to be involved.
People have sent people have sent letters on our behalf to Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
We have the Hillary Journal going on here.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
We haven't heard from her yet.
What was she coming here for?
Well, we're going to
talk.
Yeah, we want to say we feel bad for her.
Would you send her some money to go to a hair parlor and get all done up?
There you go, Charlie.
I honestly think that poor soul, I mean, I'm lucky I have nice hair. Lucky. But why pick on her about her hair? She can't help it.
I like
any
her
more
hair.
Than but what's his name.
And you're right. And so, those are the things, little bitty dead, little bitty digs on little things in a joking manner.
But not so joking.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I just want to say.
No, they want to make their point. You make a point like it's don't mean nothing. But it's a big deal of how, and you have to say, chauvinist male and power, money, males, and take the advantage of so many different things. And we're talking about a woman now, boy. That's one of the best things God ever give us.
He give
why,
us and
why,
she
why.
Take us.
Well, I mean, let me follow up on it. We let her take it. We let them take it because that's what God made man and woman. If you don't let her take, you're going to let something else in again, and it ain't going to be showed up right.
But we just want to help Hillary out.
Right.
We just want to
say, look, if you had a whole row of pictures,
yes,
and the ladies all had their hair done up, just and there was one that looked scroungy, what would you think?
Well, I want to toss that to Brandy, because I don't want to answer that question, because I'm the male.
I don't put women in a different category. You know, a man could have his hair all messed up, but ladies are, you know, we hold them in a different position.
But why?
Why?
Why? When I'm raising 4 children, 1 boy and 3 girls. And, you know, there are lots of cultural things now where we also make fun of boys, like when they have their pants sagging or things like that. We pick at their images too. And I always tell my kids, don't do it. You know, my husband is 45 now, and he sees the football players, and he says, oh, why doesn't he get a better haircut? What is going on? And I say, no, that's his hair. It has nothing to do with you. Why do you care what his haircut looks like? Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. It's what does
impressions.
It hurt you?
Take care of your
yes, I understand that impressions of appearance are somewhat important initially. Okay, that's how we form our opinions about somebody at first. But when you have a presidential two presidential candidates, right, and you've heard from both of them, you've heard their intelligence levels, their ideas on policy, you've heard all of these things, to then keep harping on the appearance of one of them, the color of her pantsuit, how she wears her hair, whatever. Did we had her in a lineup with Donald Trump, and somehow she was the one that came up lacking, which is just absurd if you really examine both of them objectively on an appearance level. It's absolutely absurd. I don't have anything more for you. That
Marge,
it's just
Marge,
silly.
What do you think?
You know, I feel sorry for those people who have a poor hairstyle or maybe a speech problem or one eye doesn't function right or whatever. Some of the things are out of your control. And people then dinging at that, making them even feel worse because they have a blemished life or whatever. You know, we're very lucky if we don't have any of those experiences.
And that's why we want to bring Hillary here.
Oh, I want you to bring
to
her here.
Say, Hillary, it's okay.
Okay,
we would get her all the way here just to say...
No. We talk about a lot more than that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But we'd start out to say, Hillary, we understand that you lost and that's weighing on you.
Yeah. Could we get a gift certificate to a
State
Beauty Academy
Charlie, just as we run out of time here. But we are... Charlie, tell them about who's coming up at 2 o'clock today on your show.
Astronauts. I'm going to have Ray Seddon and her husband, Hoot Gibson. And they've been in space many, many times.
Big show. And you got lots of giveaways in hour number one coming right up in an hour. Brandy, first week, what do you think?
Oh, it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
And she'll be back next week. Brandy, Marge, Charlie will be back next week. As I say, you'll hear from Thunderbolt. His new show will be premiering very shortly here on the station. That'll be fun, Thunderbolt. So for this week, that's puts us... We didn't even get to talk about the fake news. Oh, man. We'll save that. That'll be number one on next week's agenda. But it's been a fun week this week. And once again, the thing that this show is able to do is we're able to discuss and have fun and then move on. Mm-hmm. And you heard it in your home.
And we don't hold anything against it.
Nobody.
Well, your hair doesn't look as good as it could.
Oh, the look she just got.
See you out in the alley.
And that'll do it for this week's show. Stay tuned. Charlie Evers coming up next.
Major issues is right on national sovereignty. It's right on jobs for America.